Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I ran all the way.
It is the Savage Nation. And unfortunately, we are no longer a savage nation. We are a defeated nation. And I needn't finish the sentence because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Our borders have been busted by Obama on purpose. America is being overrun by Mexicans and Central Americans on purpose. And as I said to you yesterday in this program, it is by design, not by chance. And those who will suffer the most will be the poor African Americans in this country who are being pushed aside and displaced by the Obama administration. But that was yesterday's show. Today we need to talk about our commander-in-chief and his vision of Iraq, which is now out of control. Now, I will call this McCain's war, because many elements of this invading terrorist army coming out of the north of Iraq are identical to, if not a part of, the so-called rebels in Syria who have been fighting Assad. You don't understand this, but that's who they are. So which side should we be on? How about no side? How about no side? Do you think it makes sense for us to take a side in the Shia-Sunni battle, which is going on for almost, what, 800 years now? Many of you have to spend a little time to see the difference between Sunnis and Shias. I don't think you care very much. But it goes back to the death of the Prophet Muhammad over who should lead the Muslim community. And many of you don't care about who leads the Muslim community. Not at all, but they do. In fact, Shia and Sunnis, although they're both Muslims, kill each other, butcher their children, behead each other, all over this insanity, going back 1,000 years or more. And yet it's the same religion. And the funny part about it all is that they kind of got along for hundreds of years until Jimmy Carter permitted the Iranian Revolution of 1979 to metastasize around the world, because the Iranian Revolution of 1979 launched a radical Shia Islamist agenda that laid down a challenge to conservative Sunni regimes. And I don't want to go into any more of it because I know many of you are tuning out. You don't know the difference between Sunnis and Shias, nor do you care. The end of the story is this. What are we doing there? What did all these boys die for? Try to imagine a family in this country who has a flag on their mantle of their dead son. The son died for the sake of democracy, because he believed in Bush's BS. He believed in Bush's lie about weapons of mass destruction. He believed in Bush's big lie, and he went over, he enlisted, and he got killed in an IED explosion, or there's a guy walking around without legs or arms. You see the ads every night on television. It could rip your heart out. An Afghan veteran or an Iraq veteran. What are they fighting for? Who are they fighting for? Are we just Hessians for foreign powers? That's what it's starting to look like to me. But why should we care who wins in Iraq? Tell me why it matters. Now, today Obama gave a speech saying he will not be sending troops back into Iraq. And I think we should play clip number one so we can hear the great leader give his solemn statement, which he'll, by the way, I can guarantee you he was against sending troops in before he's for sending troops in, which could be as soon as tomorrow. Listen to clip one.
We will not be sending U.S. troops back into combat in Iraq, but I have asked my national security team to prepare a range of other options
that could
help support Iraq security forces.
Right, that's enough. Some national security team. A group of geniuses from Harvard and NYU. They never fired a Daisy BB gun, but their national security team. This is the same group of academic schmucks who are letting the country be overrun by Central Americans. The same schmucks who let the Boston Marathon bombing occur. That's the national security team. Oh, I really feel secure. None of them ever served in the military, I can guarantee you. They all served at Harvard in the Women's Studies Department. But let me let not my vitriol get the best of me today on Rock and Roll Friday. I want to go back in time to a book I wrote in 2005 called Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. Because here is what I wrote. on page one, which is this. I believe the Iraq War will be recorded as one of the greatest of military miscalculations. This is Michael Savage, published in 2000, and I have to read the date. Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, published in the year of our Lord, 2005. I wrote, I believe the Iraq War will be recorded as one of the greatest of military miscalculations. And I wrote this, before you dismiss me as a flag-burning pacifist, let me be clear. Team Bush won Operation Iraqi Freedom in a most spectacular fashion. Using sophisticated, high-tech weapons, our courageous warriors prove once again that they are the brightest and the best soldiers on the planet, period. Their enormous superiority on the battlefield was unmatched, a lesson not missed by the world community. And then I went on, and I made a prediction that the big winner will be Iran. I said, I hope it doesn't happen. I hope it doesn't happen. I prayed it wouldn't happen. But later on page 17, I wrote this. I said, here's where the military miscalculation factors into the picture. Supersizing Iran. I said, with this Iraq war, we've suddenly tilted the balance of power toward the Shiites. We've handed them a victory that they were unable to achieve on their own against Saddam Hussein. And I said, oh, naturally, the Shiites are acting all smiling as if they're our big friends, right? No, they didn't act as our friends. I said, the minute the Shiites win in Iraq, they'll kick us out and rule with an iron heel. It's exactly what happened. Not only that, but the Shiites were so despotic in their rule of Iraq, and they were so horribly mean to the Sunnis that the Sunnis are now trying to throw the Shiites out. And this all goes back to the neocons who misled Bush. They have names, by the way. I wrote, Mr. Bush and his band of neocons have had this ambitious fantasy of transforming Iraq into America light. However, visions of a democracy in Baghdad may be short-sighted. The Iraqi Shiites are the majority in parliament, and they want an Islamic republic. So it may be that Bush's war will have inadvertently created a supersized Iran. How? Operation Iraqi Freedom is in effect creating a Shiite nation. Iraq, next door to another Shiite nation, Iran, who happens to be a founding member of the Axis of Evil. Shiite, Shmiite, you say. What's this got to do with you? Plenty. There is the possibility that a Shiite Iraq will ally itself with Iran, a nation ruled by Shiite Ayatollahs, and unify against us, which means that the hornet's nest of radical Islam may actually increase in size rather than, as Bush had hoped, shrink. In sheeple terms, this means we might have just supersized our terrorists' base. Now, that's from Liberalism as a Mental Disorder, written in 2005, and shockingly, I wake up today as a prophet, realizing that Iran is entering the fray, joining the Shiites in Iraq to defend themselves against the invading Sunnis from the north, and soon to join the United States of America with our warplanes helping Iran complete its domination of that region. Now, you may say this is all horrible and it's by accident, isn't it? My answer will be the two words, Valerie Jarrett. The answer is no, it's not by accident. No, not at all, my friends, because if I go back to what I said yesterday, I quoted William Blake, the poet, life must be lived forward, but it can only be understood backwards. I am telling you that all of the crazy acts of Obama are not happening happenstance. They are on purpose. Obama has long wanted to unify with Iran, and this is a perfect opportunity for him to get friendly and to be an ally of Iran in their fight against the Sunnis. And now what's the wild card in all of this? The wild card is, once again, the canary in the coal mine of hatred. And the canary in the coal mine of hatred in the Middle East are the Jews. Once again, the Jews are the canary in the coal mine. And as you well know, Iran is on record having repeated over and over again from the top leadership down that they will kill the Jews in Israel, that they will not be happy until the, quote, Zionist state is wiped off the map, until the region is free of Jews. And yet here we are, about to join the Iranians in their efforts to consolidate their power in the Middle East. Now, I know that's a lot to digest on a Rock and Roll Friday. I get it. And I know it's not a political science class, and I know it's summertime, and I know that you just want to hang out and have a good time. But the fact of the matter is, let me repeat what I said at the beginning. taking sides in the Shia-Sunni battle is a lose-lose for the United States of America. You see, this schism in the Islamic faith will not end soon nor easily. Not at all. Try to imagine if you are a Christian arguing over Protestant versus Catholic views. Would you want Muslims to intervene and to dictate which of the two views is correct? The Muslims feel exactly the same way. The Islamic nations of the world must resolve their madness because the West will never succeed at doing so. But all of this was predicted thousands of years ago in the Holy Bible, and we are simply sitting and watching biblical history unfold. Mr. Obama, stay out of this. It does not matter who is in power in Iraq. They will still hate America. They will still sell the oil instead of giving it to us. And I will remind you that the Sunni who are now coming in from the north, who are vicious brutes, cutting off heads as they go along, they see themselves as getting payback against the incompetent, corrupt, malarkey puppet government that we erected in Iraq. The incompetent puppet government of malarkey treated the Sunnis like garbage once they had their power, like total and absolute garbage. And one other footnote. The man who hates the West more than Osama bin Laden, and the man who was driving the northern forces called ISIS onto Baghdad, was once a prisoner of American forces in Iraq, but he was released. He was released, and now he is leading a war against our so-called allies, the people that we propped up. If you get a comment on this horrible situation, you can do so by calling 855-400-7282. The big loser in this, if you want to talk about it politically, in America, politically, the big loser here is Obama and John Kerry and Hillary Clinton. Why? Because Bush is not in power. They are. They completely miscalculated the situation. They didn't plan for the situation. And by Obama cutting and running out of Iraq, even having been told by our military commanders, who he apparently doesn't listen to very much like other dictators, which is very interesting. Our commanders warned him not to pull troops out of Iraq too quickly because the power vacuum would be filled by the former enemies, and that's exactly what is happening. In fact, I could go on and on about this because I know more about it than I'm letting on. The ex-Revolutionary Guard of Saddam Hussein are joining with those coming down from the north. I think you can see what's going on here. All of the men who died in vain, all of the men who were crippled in vain, the trillions of dollars that we spent to prop up this corrupt Shiite regime is now blowing up in our face. You can blame Obama for cutting and running. You can also blame McCain for funding the so-called rebels. There's a lot of blame to go around. This is the Savage Nation. Iran is the big winner. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
We are deeply concerned about what is happening in Iraq, and we are not concerned and waiting. We are providing assistance. We are in direct touch with Prime Minister Maliki, with the leaders at the top level. I've just completed phone calls now with people
in
Iraq.
I'm glad you made a phone call. All right, that's Mr. Ketchup, our Secretary of State. He's concerned, Mr. Ketchup. Lurch is concerned. Lurch is concerned. Unbelievable. You know, I was told when I was young that the best and the brightest do not go into politics. I agree with that. I agree with that. The best and the brightest never went into politics, so far as I can tell. But it's one thing to have a bunch of bumbling fools in power because they can't do anything else and they get off on controlling people's lives and thinking they're important by sitting at meetings with their legs crossed and yattering all day long. It's quite another thing when the world is on fire and your borders are being overrun. Quite another thing when you have no opposition party and no opposition press. Quite another thing when your country is being dissolve right before your eyes. Oh, yes, it's quite another thing. But I've been at this for 20 years. This is nothing new for me, truthfully. I mean, it's Rock and Roll Friday. I'd like to have a nice time. It's pretty hard. when you see the world is in flames because of this incompetent academic leftist that we have running the United States of America, surrounded by worse people than he. See, Obama himself may not be that bad. It could be the people around him who are even worse. That's the thing to remember, is that leaders attract people like themselves, but even worse, to enact their policies. And usually they turn away from the policymaking because it's too the minutiae bores them. They have other things to do, like golf and go to Martha's Vineyard and God knows what else they do. And so they leave it to these fanatics. And we have fanatics now ruining this country at every level, every possible level, as fast as they possibly can. But there's nothing new under the sun. Yeah, I have to go back to this book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, not because I'm trying to sell it to you. Older books don't sell, so don't think I care whether you buy it or not. I'm quoting it for a couple of reasons. One, because much of what I wrote in 05 in this book is now what you hear on every conservative radio show in the country. I want to read you line one from Liberalism as a Mental Disorder, where I predicted Iran would be the big winner in the Iraq war. I said, I hope it's not going to be so, but unfortunately today, the 13th of June, 2014, it turns out that in the year 2005, I was 100% right, even though I was praying I'd be wrong. The first line in that book, which was quite prophetic, is this. I wrote this, the conservative movement is dead. I take no pleasure in making that observation. That's what I said. That's all. The conservative movement is dead. Then I said, can you think of one speech wherein the Republican leadership has expressed a desire to protect our borders, our language, and our culture? Without these three fundamental pillars of society, no nation can survive. And then I went on and I said, on my radio show over the last decade, people have repeatedly called expressing their fears that our national sovereignty is diminishing and that this country will soon be sold out to an international New World Order, 2005. They fear that American citizens will no longer have the protections of our U.S. Constitution, that it will be replaced by a constitution forged by the United Nations. No longer will we have the Bill of Rights. And then I go into the Mexican government meddling with Arizona's Proposition 200. And then I talked about the criminal Mexican nation controlling our foreign policy. And I asked who gave Mexico the right to dictate American policy, 2005.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Oh, little girl of mine.
Welcome back to the Voice of America, the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America, has been my slogan since January of this year. And I think a big part of that is the rock and roll that I play almost every day. It seems to symbolize America, at least for me it does. I mean, others consider rap music their music, but, you know, different strokes for different folks. I tend not to relate to music that builds on a vocabulary of about 20 words. I would think that my dog Teddy, frankly, has a larger vocabulary than the average rap star. It doesn't mean that they're bad people, but, you know, different strokes for different folks. I prefer rock and roll to rap, but if you like the other stuff, you got plenty of choices out there. If you like to see people who rub their crotches and have rings in their nose and jewels in their teeth, God bless you. Many of you do. My horoscope today says everyone is entitled to their opinion, so don't get uptight if someone says something you disagree with. Stay calm, Savage. Tell your side of the story and then listen to theirs. And don't be surprised if what they say makes a lot of sense. And so therefore, I'll read my phone number here where you can talk to more people than you meet for the rest of your life if you get on the air. And really, we don't have any empty lines. That's the problem. America is in hell right now. We're agitated. We see the country going in front of our eyes. We're watching a store emptying out. It's like, many of you don't know The Sopranos. It's like the Stakino bust out. What this administration is doing to this country is the equivalent of the segment in The Sopranos television series where the guy who owns this big, huge sporting goods store, which makes a fortune, is a gambler, a degenerate gambler, and he gets into a gambling game, a private gambling game, run by the mafia in New Jersey, and they warn him, don't get in the game. They want him because if you get hurt, we're going to collect. But he's a degenerate gambler. He can't control himself. He gets in the game. And before long, the gangsters are now his partners in the sporting goods store. But being the criminal scum that they are, instead of running the sporting goods store and taking a piece of the legitimate profits, the gangster scum think only about how to rob the store, what they can steal from it. And so they steal sunglass racks, then they steal skis, and they sell them out of back of trucks. Little by little, the store starts to thin out in merchandise. And then towards the end, they're taking the credit line of the store, and they're buying airline tickets with the credit line and selling the airline tickets for any amount that they can get. That's how gangsters run a business that they take over. Tell me it's not exactly the same as what's going on in America under this regime. I feel as though we're watching the Keno bust out. They're selling everything they can as fast as they can out of the back of a truck. And we're supposed to sit here in awe as the president gets up and gives a speech on Iraq like he knows what he's talking about. I feel like I'm watching an old Peter Sellers movie, where the gardener was made president. Do you remember that movie? He was made into the president, then he acts the role of the president. And people start to listen to him like he knows what he's talking about when he doesn't know anything about what he is saying. That's what I feel like I'm watching every time he speaks. I don't laugh at him. I just fear for my nation's survival. It's that simple. When I see the country being overrun by this number of illegal aliens, and I realize that the big lie of they all come here to work and we need them to do the jobs most Americans won't do, I always knew that was a lie. That's not why they want all the Hispanics here from Mexico and Central America. Why would they then bring in little girls and little boys? They're not coming here to work. So what are they rushing them into this country for? Well, if you can't figure it out, if you can't see the hatred that is the animus of this administration, I can't help you. If you think it's about helping these children, you're insane. No, it's about changing the demographics of America forever. And what that means is he's aiming it at one demographic in particular. And if you don't understand that, I can't help you. And if you do understand it and you finally got it, then you're probably shocked that I even say it on a radio show and get away with it. But I have no choice. I have no choice anymore. It's too far along for me to mince any more words about the situation. Okay, and I'm going to stop right there because there's only so far I am willing to go on the radio with my observations. It's that simple. So I can ask you what you think about all these things. I can ask you things, but what's the point of asking you? Let's just take your calls. My largest premise of the day is that Iran is the big winner, that Obama wants to be working with Iran, that this has long been a plan of Valerie Jarrett, in my opinion, the secret agent inside the Obama administration, according to all reputable sources who really know what's going on. There are so many things that are so apparent to those of us who study this for a living that it's impossible for it not to be true. No, Obama's not the bungling fool that he appears to be. Not at all. And by saying he's not going to get involved, that's today. Let's see what happens tomorrow. Let's go to Gabe in Huntsville, Alabama. Gabe, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Savage, good to talk to you. I've been trying to get online for the last couple months to try to point something out that you and some of the other talk show hosts haven't quite gotten to yet. You're very eloquent with talking about, hey, this Obama guy or his administration, what, do they hate America, or are they just bungling fools? Well, both of them may be true, and he might hate America, he might not, but this is an evil genius here. He has a plan. So when you talk about, you know, what's the reason why he's going to bring in millions of illegal aliens, why is he wrecking Iraq, teaming up with Iran, all these questions, wrecking the economy, getting us $30, $40 trillion in debt, his plan is just what you mentioned from your quotation, and thank God you finally nailed it. And so I want to congratulate you, number one.
Hold it. You're going in circles. First you said I missed the boat and didn't get the picture. Then you said thank you for nailing it. So which is it? Did I miss it or did I nail it? And if it's the latter rather than the former, what is it that I said that finally pleases you?
That is his underpinning goal, the reason why. That is the root cause of everything you see going on to wreck this country. Am I wrong? What do you think?
I don't understand. You're saying he's doing it on purpose?
But Hillary will finish the job.
Gabe, are you saying that the administration is purposely wrecking things? Is that what you're alleging? Hello? Okay, we're not getting anywhere. I really don't know whether that was a call from the penitentiary in Huntsville or it was an individual in Huntsville. I don't know what it was. They could have given him the quarter, and then they ran out. All right, whatever. Wow, what a day it is. This is Friday the 13th. For many people, they believe in, you know, superstition. I myself am not going out until after midnight tonight. I'm not really superstitious, but I am. I am and I'm not. I'm a rationalist and superstitious. I'm not religious, and yet I believe in God. Let's see, what else? What are the other conflicts in Michael Savage? I'm trained in science, and yet I believe in omens. Let's see what else I believe in. Trained in science, and yet I realize human beings are affected by the phases of the moon. I've seen it happen with many people. But yet you look at a country like this, this great big nation of ours, seems to be bumbling around doing everything that it can do to literally step on its own feet. The question today is the big question of the day, which is the Iraq question. And what can you really say about it that I haven't already said? I want to just repeat, please, from the Liberalism is a Mental Disorder book, 2005. And what I said then, I have to repeat again, is I believe the Iraq war will be recorded as one of the greatest of military miscalculations, and then I explain why. Now, of the many books I have written in my life, I would look back and say this was the most prophetic. Yes, Trickle Up Poverty, Trickle Down Tyranny were excellent books, and better researched than this, by the way. But in terms of absolute blunt, in your face, get it right, just do it. Liberalism is a Mental Disorder explained exactly what the situation was and why they act the way they are. I think most of them are mentally deranged. I know for a fact that most liberals are on drugs, legal and illegal. I know that's a fact. And in fact, if you did a survey of percentage of liberals on drugs, legal and illegal, versus conservatives on drugs, legal and illegal, I think you could pretty much conclude that the liberal community is far more drugged than the conservative community, just by the nature of the two, and that that would explain why they hate the country, why they hate the family, why they hate the church, why they hate police, why they hate the military, why they hate their mother, why they hate their father, why they hate themselves, and why they hate the nation. Yes, indeed, that's a lot in one sentence, I agree. My last nonfiction book of all time is going to come out in October. It's called Stop the Coming Civil War. And I only last night finally worked out the subtitle with my publisher, and it's called My Savage Solutions. Because there's no other way to say it. It's my view. My Savage Truth, pardon me. It's called Stop the Coming Civil War. Notice the emphasis on the word stop. Because I fear this country is being driven to insurrection, and I think it's being driven to insurrection on purpose. And I believe that governments before and governments after want insurrection in order to gain control over a population. And while Obama can unilaterally flood America with illegal aliens and nothing happens because we're a nation of wimps and we're a nation of outlaws running the country with no opposition party, or shall I say an opposition party that literally wants the same thing to happen, which is why there's no outcry from the Republicans, I think that if he wanted to eliminate the Second Amendment and he just unilaterally used his pen and his stool to sit down and say, I hereby declare the Second Amendment null and void, there'd be a civil war in the country. And so he needs a pretext, like all bad people who are looking for a fight. They need an excuse to go and do what they want. So they provoke you. And I believe that they're going to try and provoke us over and over and over again, as they are doing currently, poking us in the eye one day after the other. And I'm warning America to watch out, because that's their game plan. They want an insurrection. And I don't want to say any more about it until the book is available, because it's my last book. And it is my last nonfiction book. If I survive writing that book, and if I survive to the day the book comes out, the only book I'll write after that probably will be a book about my dog and I. That's about it. Teddy and I are talking about that book together, but unfortunately his agent is being very, very difficult, and I don't know whether I'm going to be able to hire him as a co-author. He's just asking for too many bones. No, he's got some agent out there, I got to tell you. So let's back up a little bit. Let's take a look at all the news, views, and reviews of the world. Robert is on the board today. Robert, we need a little more music, so we can go back to the Impalas, I Ran All the Way Home, if you want to find that, if that's an easy one. Or any of the other great rock and roll that I love to play on Friday. I think that's a nice one. I love I Ran All the Way Home, because I'd like to run all the way home, but I don't know where home is.
I ran all the way home.
anyone tell me where home is? Since there's no America anymore under Obama and his minions, tell me where I should run. No one knows where to run anymore because there's nowhere to go. Do you know how many people I know who are intelligent and hardworking who are talking about finding another country as a backup because they fear what this country is becoming under Obama? They see it being reshaped and remade in the image of these academic Marxists, and they don't know what to do, and they're afraid. So they start saying, well, where should I get another, you know, citizenship? Where shall I go? Well, me, myself, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm man-child in the promised land. My grandfather was the immigrant, and I'm not going to move to another country. I'm going to stay in this country no matter what happens. But many people are thinking of leaving it. I hear some of the most absurd conclusions. They're going to move to New Zealand because they think it's freer. If you only knew how socialist New Zealand is, if you had any idea how difficult the climate for doing business is in New Zealand, you wouldn't even be talking about going to New Zealand. If you had any idea how fascistic Canada has become under the socialist governments, you wouldn't even be talking about buying a second home in Vancouver or in Toronto. So many people don't understand that you have to stay here and fight. It's that simple. There's nowhere to run. So as I play I Ran All the Way Home, you have to understand this is your home. And while we may have an incompetent, bumbling, or even worse, in the administration, you have nowhere to go. This is your country. This is the land of your ancestors. This is your homeland. These are your borders. This is your language. This is your culture. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The deadline on Iraq was set by the prior administration. And when President Obama came in, he was obviously not an enthusiast about the Iraq war from the very beginning. Very strong critic of it. Both its initiation and its handling.
Right. She's not winning. Sorry. The biggest waste of time in history. There's going to be another one coming along in the primary who will definitely move ahead of Hillary, as I said, for a number of reasons. America has had Hillary for 8 years. They know what to expect from the Clintons. They don't want him again. That's number one. Number two, I really don't believe women like her. Yes, diehards and liberals do, but all the other women of America detest her. Number three, and I'm sad to say it because it sounds sexist, and I'm the last person on earth who could be accused of that. Remember, I am born of woman, and so I didn't come out of the woods. I respect women very much, but the fact of the matter is she's not very attractive looking, and a lot of what politics is about is looks. Make no mistake about it, we live in a nation of entertainment and the entertainment factor. She doesn't have any of that. In fact, she's one donut away from looking like Barbara Mikulski. And I don't think Barbara Mikulski could win the presidency either. Many of you don't know who she is, but I'll let it hang in the air. No, the reason Obama won is because he's a good-looking guy, he has a great voice, he was young. As opposed to the old guard, we thought we were getting something fresh, new, and more honest. And of course, we were lied to because those who pull the strings, you know, are still pulling the strings one way or the other. And nevertheless, I don't think she can win. Good luck to her. She's entitled to run. But I think we had 8 years of the Clintons. But the biggest issue is her tenure as Secretary of State is marked with disaster. From Libya, whatever she touched, wherever her hands... Our fingerprints are, there's a disaster. So what is she running on what record? I don't understand why anybody would vote for her. And if it's women voting for a woman, what does that say about a woman that would vote for a person simply because she's not a man? What does that tell you about a woman who would say, I'll vote for her because she's not a man?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
A white sport coat
and a pink carnation. It is The Savage Nation, 6 minutes after the hour. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. In fact, I feel so optimistic for reasons unknown that I went and got a white sport coat out of my costume department. Asked the guys who are working with me, Neil and Robert. You know, Skype is amazing. I change outfits now just for them because I don't want them to see me in my flannel pajamas during the entire show. It doesn't encourage hard work to see your boss, the talker, sitting in flannel pajamas on the other side of the Skype screen. So I put on a white sport coat and a pink carnation. I got a straw hat on and I have a cane. And I'm ready to go in hour number two on The Savage Nation. Of course, we're talking about the situations in the world. I mean, it's news, views, and reviews. And what's bigger news right now than Iraq, which has gone up in smoke? And not to repeat everything I said in the last hour, it's what I feared would happen when Bush invaded Iraq. And as I wrote in Liberalism as a Mental Disorder in 2005... By the way, it was a huge best-selling book. It was not an obscure book. It doesn't matter that it's not mentioned by fraudulent conservatives in the media. The important thing is that the American audience knows I wrote it. Most of what they hear on radio today may as well be taken verbatim from my book, because everything I wrote is what you hear on every other show over and over again. Over and over and over again. It's that simple. You say it once and you say it perfectly so others repeat it and make believe they discovered it. But that's not the point. The point is I feared this would happen. I felt that the neocons were misleading President Bush. And speaking of President Bush, our hats off to his father, who celebrated his 90th birthday yesterday by doing a skydive out of an airplane. That was amazing. I mean, you know how gutsy that is at any age? But you see a 90-year-old man with that kind of heart, that's amazing. It makes you yearn for the days of Bush Sr., who, by the way, was a far better president than Bush Jr., which I said during Bush Jr.'s reign. Because, going back to Iraq again, on that issue alone, I distinctly recall saying the following. I said, when Bush 1 invaded Iraq in the first Iraq war, if you remember, he could have, of course, the American troops could have taken all of Iraq, but his advisors were far more far-seeing, Bush 1. He had smarter men around him. And they said, we don't want to take down Saddam and the entire Revolutionary Guard, nor do we want to decimate all of his tanks and all of his airplanes. We want to weaken him so he's not a greater threat to the area, but we want to keep him as a counterbalance to the growing threat of Iran. And that was Bush 1. Then along came Polly, that is Bush 2. And Bush 2 was advised by very intemperate men from the conservative think tanks, Wolfowitz and Crowd, and the neocons said, go for the throat, kill them all, take out the Revolutionary Guard, take out Saddam and his sons, and God knows what happened. And what happened is now, as we sowed the wind, we're reaping the whirlwind. And the whirlwind is now Iran is the big winner. You have to remember that the original borders of ancient Persia included Iraq, because Iraq didn't exist until the end of World War II, so far as I know, and I'm no expert on history, but Iran once occupied that entire area. And what Iran is now doing is regaining everything that they lost over the centuries, thanks to the incompetence of Bush and the complicity of Obama. And soon, we will see the whirlwind hit us here in the United States of America. I hope not, but I fear so. I fear that we have brought in so many unknown immigrants who have come here under the guise of asylum that we have God knows how many jihadists sitting in this country, not being looked at by the administration for fear of offending the Muslim pressure groups. That's how the Boston Marathon bombing occurred, as anyone with a brain knows. Now let's go back to some of the sound. Robert, do we have clip 8 where Hillary blames George Bush for Iraq in clip 8? Do we have that one ready? Let's listen to Hillary Clinton in this one.
The deadline on Iraq was set by the prior administration. And when President Obama came in. He was obviously not an enthusiast about the Iraq War from the very beginning, very strong critic of it, both its initiation and its handling.
Okay, so what is her point? What is her point? The fact of the matter is that Obama, being the egomaniac that he is, doesn't listen to his generals, if there are any left who will even stand up to him. They did not advise abruptly pulling all of our troops out of Iraq. They said you better leave a conservative force back there, meaning a force of men there who can stop exactly what's happening today from happening. But Obama was so anxious to be the peacenik leader that he said, no, get all our troops out of there. And so the vacuum that was created by Obama, not by Bush, Bush said, yes, we'll be out of there, but he didn't say take all the troops out of there. No, Obama said take all the troops out of there. So the vacuum is now being filled by McCain's army. Yes, there's blame on both sides of the dummy aisle. McCain, the dummy who doesn't shut his mouth every minute he's on another television show, if you remember, was running hither and yon telling us we had to arm the Syrian rebels. Who are the Syrian rebels? I think many of them are now invading Iraq through the Northern Corridor with weapons supplied by McCain's friends. So, you know, there's a lot of blame to go around, and there's nothing I can say about it other than looking in from the outside. It's one man's opinion. I'm only an American observer. I'm a commentator. I've been in the business 20 years, and I'm trained to do this. I do this for a living, and I feel that I know more about it than you may think, given that I study it all the time. This is what I do for a living. It's not a hobby of mine. It's not a secondary hobby. I probably know as much about this as anybody in the country could know about these things without being privy to the actual inside information about who's pulling the strings. And so it's, again, only one man's opinion. If you yourself have an opinion and you care to share it or compete with mine or debate with mine, 855-407-2822 is the phone number. Let's begin in Dallas, WBAP in Texas. Shannon on WBAP in Dallas. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Well, thank you, Dr. Savage. You know, I've said for a number of years now that Obama has exceeded President Carter as the worst president in history, and I think if Iraq does fall on Obama's watch, and I think that it's cinched it. He's the worst in history. And I think depending on...
I agree with you. In other words, yes, of course Bush said we would withdraw troops by a certain time, but he didn't say all the troops. He wanted to leave a reserve force there to make sure no vacuum occurred. But Obama is such a peacenik that he said get them all out of there, right?
This goes on before there's a reaction or insurrection, but... Yeah, it's a sad day, but just to see Obama compared to Carter, it's just astounding to me.
Well, let's talk about Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was very similar to Obama in many ways, from the same policy point of view, advised by similar lunatics. In his case, it was Brzezinski and others. And Jimmy Carter, being the left-wing fanatic that he was an opponent of the ruler of Iran, as you well know who he was. He thought he was a totally evil right-winger who used his secret police SAVAK to suppress the population, which was all true. Well, the truth, though, is that the leader of Iran at that time was using the secret police to suppress the elements in society that were retrograde, and rightly so, because the minute he was overthrown because of Jimmy Carter, Ayatollah Khomeini came back from exile in London and introduced the toxic virus of radical Islam, not only to Iran, but to the entire world. That we have Jimmy Carter to thank, don't we? For that we have Jimmy Carter to thank. It was Jimmy Carter who disseminated this virus, maybe inadvertently, but he did so. There's no question whether he did so on purpose or by accident. But it was because he overthrew the Shah of Iran and forced him into exile that he basically created a vacuum of power in Iran, into which Ayatollah Khomeini came back from exile in London and introduced Sharia law and turned Iran back 500 years. He told women they couldn't drive cars. He told women they couldn't teach. He turned Iran back 300 years. Iran was one of the most advanced nations on the planet, as it had been historically. And that was under the Shah, by the way, a Western-educated a gentleman by any means. But here we go again. Now we have Obama making the same mistakes. Again, you know, the road to you know where is paved with good intentions. But in this case, I don't even think it's good intentions. I think he and Holder have very bad intentions, frankly. But that's one man's opinion. It's Rock and Roll Friday, so let's, Robert, play a little rock and roll, as they call us on the Savage Nation. How about playing, I don't know, God, what song, if this is a live show that we could ask people, how about Penguins, Earth Angel? The Penguins, Earth Angel would be very sweet, because that may provoke some nostalgia in my audience and in me, and I may, before I know it, be drifting from the Iraq War to the Catskill Mountains and telling a story about being a lifeguard at the Shanks Paramount Hotel, or a busboy at one of the hotels. Let's listen to the song, if you can find. Is it on already or not? What is this? Uh-oh.
Earth Angel, Earth Angel, will you be mine, my darling dear? Love you all.
I want you to compare the lyrics of this song to rap music. Let's stop the music for a minute. I'm going to do a little cultural musicology. Here's a song called Earth Angel, where a man is in love with a woman. He glorifies her. He puts her on a pedestal. He's in love with woman. He's in love with her. He puts her on a pedestal. He calls her Earth Angel. Now, compare this song to the vile filth that's disseminated by rap music, where women are treated worse than used toilet paper, with such hatred that only the music companies and the video companies can find it appealing. And so now you understand it's not the music itself that did this to the country. It's the country that invited that kind of music. And that's the difference between the America that I live in, that lives in my head, and the America that the rest of America seems to live in, that I want nothing to do with. I'll take a break. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
I don't think there's any appetite in our country for us to become engaged in any more military activity in Iraq. The American people have been exhausted with wars. If you want to talk about Iraq and the opposition they have always had to our military engagement there, we'd have to go back to 2003, when the Bush administration misrepresented the facts to the American people.
But she's right in a way. Even a stop cuckoo clock is right twice a day, and I have to agree with her this time. I agree with Nancy Pelosi. I understand, by the way, that many affiliates have dropped the show right now at this time for the press release. I don't know what. Bergdahl's back. What kind of nonsense is that? What are they going to hear from the propaganda ministry? That the stooge deserter came back. What, they're going to get something out of it? Why would people want to listen to this garbage coming out of the government's mouth? Oh, how's Bergdahl? Oh, he's doing well. He's doing quite well. He's going to get the best of care. He'll soon be with his family. Any other question? Yes, sir. Can you tell us how Bergdahl is doing? Well, I just told you, you moron. All right, any other questions? How's he feeling? How's he feeling to be back in America? Oh, Private Bergdahl is doing very well. Glad to be back in America. Loves it. Go Yankees, whatever. Right? Are there any other questions? Yes, how does Mr. Bergdahl feel now that he's safe back home and Obama saved him? Oh, he loves the president very, very much. He's very happy that the president intervened for him. Okay, can we have the show back, please? Very shortly, you'll be able to get some opinion rather than some propaganda. 855-400-7282. The big question of the day is Iraq. There is no really, there's no proof to the fact that Obama meant what he said when he said we're not going to send troops, because that was today, and he was against it before he's for it, very much like John Kerry, and we don't know what tomorrow will bring. The wild card here is Israel. No one's talked about it, but I would not be surprised if you do not see Israeli action in the very near future to stop the surge coming in out of the north. That's because they have the Air Force that could do the job quite willingly and quite quickly. Well, as do we, for that matter. I mean, we have the resources in the area that require almost no forward placement. We have aircraft carriers that could launch on a moment's notice and take care of this in a few hours. The question is whether we will and whether we want to, and what does it mean for Iran? And as you well know, Iran wants to use our planes. And since we've been Hessians before, for factors in the Middle East. Why shouldn't we be Hessians now? I think at this stage of our history, we should just take the stars and stripes off our airplanes, take all U.S. markings off our military uniforms, and since they're a rent-a-force for despots in the oil region, I think we should just let them put whatever insignia they want on our airplanes, tanks, trucks, and military uniforms as we are used. It's as simple as that. I never saw a nation on earth that lets its soldiers be used like this without getting paid for it. I mean, it's one thing to be a rented army for oil nations. It's another thing to get paid for it in some manner. In this case, we use, then we don't get paid for it, which I don't understand that kind of deal. I mean, if we're going to lend our military to the Saudis to be used for their own interests or some other oil sheikdoms, why don't you at least get paid for it? I don't quite understand that. All right, 855-400-7282. Let's take a quick call out of KSFO. Doug, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Mike, excuse me. I'm no fan of Obama, but this was the inevitable end to this war anyway, unless we stayed forever. And then if we'd done that and somebody drives a car bomb into one of our barracks, we'd all be asking, what are we still doing there? There was no way this was going to turn out.
I don't disagree with you, but why would Iran suddenly now be willing to send in troops and asking Obama to help them with our Air Force? Doug, did you hear me? In other words, Obama's almost willing to admit our Air Force can be used with Iran now to surround the jihadists. Gone with the wind. Probably called from Iraq. Latest news breaking. 200 American contractors surrounded by jihadists in Iraq. Again, I report on the Savage Nation. The Christians are on the run, and 200 American contractors are now surrounded by jihadists in Iraq. The veterans in America, my heart goes out to you. There's not enough antidepressants in the world to help you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, if you think what's happening in Iraq is bad, you're right. But what's happening in Iraq is predicting what's going to happen in Afghanistan, because just remember what Obama said at West Point just a few weeks ago. He announced we're definitely leaving Afghanistan, period. And shortly after that, he did a prisoner swap in which we gave back five top Taliban generals for one apparent deserter. At the same time, Al-Qaeda-linked groups are rising around the world. Libya, the Philippines, Yemen, Nigeria, now Iraq. They'll soon be rising again in Afghanistan. And so what is going to happen is anybody's guess. Meanwhile, here in America, our borders are being dissolved and overrun, and our border agents are reduced to changing diapers and heating baby formula for these children dumped on us illegally. That's right. Commissioner of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, whoever that is, Gil Kerlikowske, who in my opinion should be arrested for crimes against the American people, said today that many of the illegal immigrant children being dumped onto this nation are now being cared for by Border Patrol agents who are changing diapers and heating baby formula in order to care for some of the youngest of these children. And these Border Patrol agents are mainly young, single men who've never done these things. And that's what they've been reduced to by our great leader, our cheerful great leader, Barack Hussein Obama. That's right, our Border Patrol agents are now changing diapers and heating baby formula for the surge of illegal immigrants being brought into this country in order to change the demographics of certain cities forever. There's no other reason for it. They're certainly not being brought in here because Mark Zuckerberg needs them to work in his factories, for example. This is unbelievable to me. Now, on top of this, the despicable communist anti-American ACLU, as well as anti-American immigrant rights groups, are now ready to sue our nation, saying that the agents of the Border Patrol should be sued for neglecting or abusing many of these illegal immigrant children, verbally or physically. I swear to God. I swear to God. In the midst of this onslaught by illegal immigrant children, most of whom, well, I can't go on. My heart is broken from this, because to me it's a crime against our nation. It's a crime against our Constitution. I believe the president should be impeached for this alone. I believe that Eric Holder should be impeached for this alone. I believe that the head of Homeland Security should be impeached for this alone. But I'm only one man. It's one man's opinion. It means that La Raza and the other radical anti-American groups are now running over America, roughshod over America's borders. And so the children are coming in without inoculations. Many of them are infected with diseases that were once annihilated in America or wiped out in America. The agents who are now changing diapers are reporting that in addition to doing babysitting guard duty, reports are coming out that are saying that teenage boys, you thought they were all children, some of the teenage boys and girls are engaging in sex in our shelters while laughing at us. They're having a little good time, not working a day in their life. This reminds me very much of the Mariel boat lift of many, many decades ago into Florida. What if a U.S. citizen dumped his children in the middle of the desert and told them to run across the border? Why, the parents would go to prison, wouldn't they, for felony child abuse? And yet here we have people from Central America dumping their children in the middle of a desert and telling them to run into America. And then we're being told that they're going to reunite with the very same parents who dumped them from the Central American nations. Why are we not demanding that Mexico stop letting them cross through their nation into our country? As you well know, and I've told you this, I know Guatemalans who made the crossing. The Mexicans abuse the Guatemalans and El Salvadorans, viciously abuse them. They shake them down, they beat them up, and they take all their money. Why are the Mexicans letting these children run across Mexico or ushering them through Mexico safely into this country? Why are these children not being sent back to the consulates or embassies of the nations from which they are pouring in from? Why are there no adults here willing to stand up to this? Answer, because it's being orchestrated by Obama and Holder and his minions with La Raza in order to cause chaos. In order to cause chaos, and they're using the children to do so. There are billions and billions of poor people in this world. And if the Democrats think America can financially care for the world, they're insane. They're more insane than I ever thought they could be. These children are not coming here to work. Somebody will have to pay for them. And as I said yesterday on this program, the population in this nation that will pay most dearly for this action by Obama and Holder and others are the poorest people in this country, notably the poor African Americans in this country. I will tell you that even liberals can see through this. I can tell you right now that even liberals understand this is going to be the death of this nation. It's that simple. All right, 855-497-282. It's open mic to Mike Friday. It's rock and roll Friday. WABC Lou, welcome to the Savage Nation from New York City. What's on your mind, Lou?
I was calling just to lighten the mood a little bit for you on Rock and Roll Friday. I just wanted to tell you for years I've enjoyed your bumper music, the music you play on Fridays, and maybe for your audience there's a little bit of good news. The other day I read that rap music sales are in steep decline. So,
well, maybe that's why Obama's bringing in the hordes of illegal aliens. Maybe they're being brought in to buy the rap music. I don't know. It's a different demographic. I guess it would have to be a different music than rap music. I'm just being facetious, obviously. But okay, it's Rock and Roll Friday. We could play some rock and roll. What can we do? How about in honor of Obama, we'll play Smoke Gets in Your Eyes by the Platters, Robert. I'm sure that you can find that one. While Robert's looking for the song of the day, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes by Eric Holder, we'll go to some of our callers. Tulsa, Oklahoma, KFAQ. Dan, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage.
Yes.
I just want to make a comment that I think some of the blame with the situation in Iraq actually falls on the Iraqi people themselves. We spent 10 years, billions of dollars. They were equipped with the best machinery and arms money can buy. They were trained by the best forces that's on the planet. And their country's about to fall in 3 days.
It's said that their commanders abandoned the troops as the northern forces were raging across Iraq. The commanders left the troops in their barracks and weren't there. I know we can't blame President Ali Obama for this, But I think President Ali Bama has some blame, by the way. And the reason I say President Ali Bama has some blame, Dan, is because he was the one who cut and run. It was President Ali Bama who said we should get the troops out of Iraq as quickly as possible. I mean, it was President Ali Bama who created the vacuum. Let's play some music for President Ali Bama. Smoke, it's in your eyes. Robert, let's fire it away if you got it. Oh, slow. Killer record. I don't like it. Sorry. Waste of time. No, knock it off. It's not good for Friday, for a rock and roll Friday. I didn't know it was that slow. Is there a fast one? We could play Donna by Richie Valens. That's terrible. La Bamba, everybody knows. We played Earth Angel, theme from A Summer Place, makes people cry. That's Lovely Make Me Too nostalgic theme from A Summer Place by Percy Faith. So let me get into a really sad mood. Let's play Theme from A Summer Place by Percy Faith so I can remember when America was still America, when the chrome was thick and the women were straight. Let's hear Theme from A Summer Place by Percy Faith. That goes along with a white sport coat and a pink carnation. I don't know, every time I hear this song, I think of Cadillacs, Buicks, big bumpers, thick windows, women who wore dresses. I think they were even wearing gloves in those days. It's amazing what we've become as a nation. Don't let me get vulgar right now. Play it louder, please. Okay, stop the music. Stop the music. I have an idea. I can go to Michael Savage. Dr. Unsavage can enter the studio. And for a few minutes, I can take calls from individuals who want to hear what Dr. Unsavage has to say about all of the news of the day. But that would require, Neil, you're going to have to clear up some of the lines, any of the weaker calls. Cull the call base, Neil. Cull out the weaker calls and drop them open. We have one open line at 855-407-282. Dr. Unsavage is in to answer your questions on the news of the day, anything from Iraq to the border surge of illegal immigrant children. And you will hear an opinion different than mine because Dr. Unsavage is not savage. He's unsavage, and he has a different view of things than I do. And the way the game is played is if you get on the air, you say, hello, Dr. Unsavage, can you tell me what you think about? And then you ask the question, and I will answer it. 855-400-7282. We can take some calls in the meantime for Dr. Savage himself. Anna on WABC. While we're waiting for the unsavage calls, what's on your mind, Anna?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I have three different questions. Give me the name of the biggest head of exchange among five Guantanamo prisoners. That should be only one very important one that they threw four others to dilute so we won't know who was got paid to release
well,
that
well, you, oh, Anna, darling, you lost me. I don't understand what you're saying, honestly. You're from a very complex nation which can think in great, great swaths of thought with many elements all at once. I come from a simpler time and place. Can we boil it down to one statement? Anna. Anna, darling, where are you? Anna went back to Brighton Beach. What's this? The minute I ask a question, they leave. She's back on the boardwalk. She was too smart for me. She was far too smart for me. Europeans pose such complex questions, they think it's a news conference. Hello, Dr. Savage, I want to ask you, of the 53,000 prisoners that were once in Guantanamo over a period of time, the number that were released in exchange for this one prisoner, Bergdahl, in exchange for the POWs in Stalag 17 in World War II, when John McCain was still a baby in the crib in Arizona, at the time that Eric Cantor's father was still making bagels in the suburbs of Bethesda, can you possibly tell me whether it was anti-Semitism that caused Bergdahl to be released in order for the people of Israel to finally reject the souvlaki that was brought in from Yemen under the last administration under Peres? That's the kind of I can't answer a question like that. It's impossible. It's totally impossible. I could see already the audience is filled with stiffs. No one called Dr. Unsavage. Oh, so we'll go back to the straight callers and the straight show on the Savage Nation. WABC, Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
How you doing, Doc? I got a question for you. Maybe you can make me feel better. I'm a former POW from Nam. Do you think that these people that we gave up, those five men in place of the one coward, do you think that they may have put chips in these men?
Well, I don't know. It would be nice to believe that. I actually thought maybe they did, and wouldn't that be wonderful if they were that smart? But do you actually believe Obama and his national security team of girls from Harvard and NYU would be doing such a thing as that? Wouldn't that be inhumane for them to have implanted a little chip in them so they can track them? I mean, you're asking me a question, but I don't know if I have an answer for you, Mike. I don't know. Do you think you think they would do that, this administration? Mike, I think it's the board operator can't manage the caller and me at the same time. So I'll let that go. This is the third call in a row already where I say something, then he's gone. I think the board ops are having a little trouble today. I don't know what it is. Every time I say something, they seem to disappear. So let's go back to talking about President Alibama, who you'll be hearing that word now everywhere on the blogs. I created the phrase Obama. I see it all over the internet. I created the phrase today, President Alibama. You'll see that tomorrow all over the internet. Oh, we got an Ron Savage call. Caroline, who knows the game, KSFO is calling. Go ahead, please.
Savage, listening on KSFO, I won't ask you how you are.
That means you're no... Okay.
Sunni okay. Saudi Arabia, if Obama is allying himself with Shia Iran. Thank you very much. I'll take the answer off the air.
Well, the way to see this is in a more global way. Saudi Arabia, on the face of it, on one hand, will be upset, but on the other hand, there will be a faction within Saudi Arabia that will like what our president is doing. And so in balance, it's an overall win-win for the entire administration. Carolyn, because although there are factions that see things in different ways, as there are within our own nation, in the big picture, in the whole ball of wax, you have to see it in the global Euro context, which is a good thing for America. I hope that answers your question from Dr. Unsavage, Carolyn. Thank you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
A humanitarian disaster of epic proportions is occurring right now in Iraq because President Alibama, created this vacuum. He was the one who said, get all the troops out of Iraq all at once. Yes. To be fair to the discussion, President Bush said all the troops would be out by a certain date, but that a reserve force should be left behind. But President Obama said, no, get them all out in order to placate the left-wing fanatics in America and the world who wanted us to lose in Iraq from the get-go. And so now cities that were captured at great loss of men, mainly American men, Mosul, Baiji, Tikrit, Samarra, you've heard all of these names. They've all fallen to the monsters that are pouring in from the north of Iraq. These cities are falling like dominoes. Thousands of Iraqi troops are being abandoned by their commanders and being beheaded along the way. Meanwhile, today, this is the latest news. While the president ruled out sending troops back into combat in Iraq, former President G.W. Bush, who got us into Iraq, says he will not weigh in. He said he has decided not to criticize his successor. I guess G.W. Bush is now busily painting watercolors along with Prince Charles. Yes, the man who gave us the fake WMDs now gives us a blank canvas. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on The Savage Nation. This song goes out to the administration, and especially to President Ali Bama, who claims that he was caught off guard by the resurgence of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And then he busily jumped into Air Force One or Marine One to get to Air Force One to go to an Indian reservation, don't you know, in North Dakota, in order to show the impoverished state of the oppressed Native American and how we need to make certain that they all can vote 25 times in order to save the bacon of the Democrat Party. That's all it is. That's all he cares about is the elections coming up. Instead of urgently acting on what is going on in the Middle East as a result of Ali Bama's policies, Ali Bama is boarding Air Force One, flying to North Dakota to do another show trial about the oppressed minorities in America and to make certain that they can vote as many times as possible. Meanwhile, President Ali Bama has ruled out sending troops back into combat in Iraq, but he will review when he gets back and after a little rest and recuperation, he will review with his college team what exactly they should do. While some of the more intelligent Republicans are screaming bloody murder. For example, California Rep. Ed Royce, the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, blasted President Ali Bama for waiting. He said the president and his team need to be acting urgently, not reviewing options in the days ahead, Royce said. This threat has been growing for months, and Iraqis have been asking for assistance to attack these terrorist camps through drone strikes, which have been denied by President Ali Bama, I have added. He said, why has the Obama administration been taken off guard? We should have done it by now. Senator James Inhofe, an Oklahoma Republican, claimed moments later that the advance of ISIS, which is Al-Qaeda, and their ability to gain control as quickly as they have is a direct result of President Obama's foreign policy failure and his inability to secure a status of forces agreement, which led to the premature removal of U.S. troops from Iraq in 2011. He added, we are now seeing the fruits of a short-sighted foreign policy that reacts to the politics of the hour rather than facts on the ground. Most tellingly, Texas Senator John Cornyn said, I pray that for the sake of so many Texans and Americans who gave their lives in Iraq, the president will present a decisive plan to Congress immediately. Yeah, good luck. Obama is on the campaign trail, flying off to the Pine Ridge Reservation in North Dakota instead of flying to meet his forces in the Middle East and launch some strikes immediately. Now some calls on the Savage Nation. Jeff on WMAL in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I am an Iraq war veteran, and personally, I am madder than hell about the whole situation. I understand things happen and you can't get involved in nations forever. However, I find it no reason, strategy, or any that we would ever give aid to Iran, which when I was in theater were taking shots at us. Most of the IEDs were coming through their country, and they aided and abetted the enemy every step of the way they could. And now we're considering giving them aid with what? Drones.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable, Jeff, that Iran, our mortal enemy, who killed many of our troops either directly or through proxy forces, is now asking for the United States to use their Air Force to help them in stemming the surge of Sunnis coming in from the north. I agree with you. It couldn't be crazier, but I don't think it's by accident, Jeff. Between you and I think President Ali Bama wants for a long time to be an ally with Iran. That's my personal gut feeling.
Yeah, and I agree with you, sir. That drone was not an accident. The level of technology, I can't talk too much about what I did in theater. For that just to coincidentally get taken over, that's unacceptable. That's not a reasonable answer.
No, Jeff, there was never any investigation when it occurred. Remember, we gave them the most advanced drone in the world. It was delivered to them by, quote, accident, the same way our CIA chief was outed by accident. There's so many accidents under this administration that makes me believe that maybe President Ali Bama has some double agents working for him. That's the only conclusion I could come to. They delivered that drone without a scratch on its finish. It was like delivering a brand-new Buick right from the showroom.
Yes, sir. If I can add one more thing, I know it was a big deal, I believe, in year 2006 after I left my service. A lot of chatter, and this was released in the news I can talk about, in Farsi on our southern borders being found. Notes, field manuals, if you would. And it was a big hype about potential terrorist networks trying to get through Latin America. So how do we respond? Open up the border. This scenario, to me, makes no more sense than being on your boat with you and saying there's sharks in the water. We better get the hell off the boat.
All right. Jeff, you know, you use common sense in a world filled with madness, and I wonder how people can get through a day, especially, by the way, people like yourself, Jeff, who served this country, who lost friends or friends who came home mangled from this operation. I can't imagine the agony they must be going through when they see it all going up in smoke. All I can say is thank you very much for having the guts to have served this nation so the rest of us can enjoy our freedoms. It's the Savage Nation in a very sad day indeed, in a very tense day indeed, when you see that all of the gains that were made with so much American blood spilled being wasted because President Ali Bama wanted to cut and run too soon. It's as simple as that. You can blame anybody you want, but the fact of the matter is we needed to leave a force behind. We needed an agreement from Malaki, and he wouldn't give it to us. And there's a lot of blame that has to fall upon Malaki because he mistreated the Sunnis once he was given all this power. He abused it. He treated them like garbage. He refused to pay the troops who were of the Sunni faith who helped defeat al-Qaeda. He refused to pay them after we withdrew from Iraq. He did one insulting thing after another in Iraq. And so he can't simply sit there now and say that he needs our help all over again because we'll be sucked back into that nightmare once again, and I don't think it's our place to go back there. On the other hand, I think we will. I believe that we will see airstrikes or drone strikes over the weekend, if not tonight. The fact is Iraqi army units are being overrun by ISIS, which is al-Qaeda, in Mosul and Tikrit. Right now on the Savage Nation, the latest news is that government forces in Iraq are holding them in check, not yet surrendering Baghdad. Now, ISIS or al-Qaeda has a goal, and that goal is to create an Islamic State under Sharia law stretching across parts of Syria and Iraq's northern provinces. Don't be surprised if Jordan or Israel is drawn into this nightmare. 855-400-7282, it's the Savage Nation, time for a quick call. Lou on WABC in New York, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I think the insurgents got emboldened for a couple of reasons based on what happened in the news in the last week or so, and that is, I could think of two things. One is that we released all these terrorists and we kind of gave up, and the second thing is that there was an announcement retiring the A-10 Warthog, that wonderful airplane that was responsible, I'm sure, for that highway of death.
Yes, I agree. The A-10 is a great tank killer, but U.S. MQ-9 Reaper drones are way beyond the A-10, and they can deliver Hellfire missiles more than 1,100 miles away or drop 500-pound bomb payloads. So we have F-16s in the area. We have these amazing advanced drones that can wipe them off the planet. The question is, will we do so? But the bigger question is, why haven't we done so yet? I mean, as I say, the massive arsenal that we have of MQ-18 Predators and MQ-9 Reaper drones, which can fire Hellfire missiles more than 1,100 miles away without pilots on them, or Reaper drones, which can drop 500-pound bomb payloads, they are controlled from a land or from a ship. America has about 172 Predator drones and 97 Reapers in the area, according to public sources. And any one of them could be launched to eliminate terror leaders, including the warlords, at the tip of the al-Qaeda or ISIL spear. The question is, will we do so? It's the Savage Nation, and we'll take one of the quick call here on the program before we go to break. KSFO, Gary, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please, Gary.
Yes, hello. I had enough with losing lives for these throwbacks, Dr. Savage. It's just not worth one more American life. I could care less if Iraq falls, let the heads roll through the streets, because eventually it's going to put so much pressure on Israel. Israel has a nice little collection of nuclear weapons. Let them deal with it.
I feel very, very closely aligned to what you just said, Gary. At the beginning of the show, I tried to explain the difference between the Sunnis and the Shias. It's so complex and at the same time so insane that we in America have no business being there. They are willing to kill each other's men, women, and children, grandfathers, infants in cradles, cut each other's head off over nothing. It's all Muslims arguing over who should have led the Muslim community. It's insane. We have nothing to do with it. We have no reason to get involved in this civil war between one faction and another. And you should also know that the bloodshed between these two groups was flared up in 1979 by the Iranian Revolution, when a radical Shia Islamist agenda was launched in Iran. That's what began the current wave of bloodshed between the Shia Islamists and the conservative Sunnis. We have nothing to do with it, and it will never end. It's been going on since the religion itself began. And in early, you got to understand that in early Islamic history, the Shia were a political faction. The words literally, Shi'at Ali, or the party of Ali, tells us everything we need to know, which is that the Shia Muslims are fundamentally not a religion, but a political organization. And I've said that for 10 or more years right now. You are looking not at a religion so much as a political organization. And we are being deceived once again with the Trojan horse of religion. Once again, the Trojan horse of religion is being used. It was during both the Iraq War and the Afghan War, where we are told, oh, you can't fight them. You can't shoot back at them. They're in a mosque. Well, if you're using a mosque to kill our men, I say the mosque becomes fair game, just as churches were fair game in World War II. It's the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop.
We're not going to be able to be everywhere all the time. But what we can do is to make sure that we are consistently helping to finance, train, advise military forces with partner countries, including Iraq, that have the capacity to maintain their own security. And that is a long and laborious process, but it's one that we need to get started. That's part of what the counterterrorism partnership fund that I am going to be calling for Congress to help finance is all about.
It is the Savage Nation. And here I am in San Francisco by design. And there you are, the Savage audience, my entire raison d'etre, my whole reason for living. Not my entire, but a pretty big part of it is this show. You know, I eat it, sleep it, and drink it, as they say. And things that happen seem to affect how I perform on the air that day or the next day, whether it be a bad sandwich or a bad landing. There's definitely some reason I was put down in Memphis. And I had those 4 hours, as I said to you, to take a tour. Never, ever in the world did I ever expect to be in Memphis, Tennessee, nor did I know the countryside was so gorgeous. I had no idea. So anyway, I told you, I went to the Elvis Graceland thing, and it was exactly what I thought. Couldn't believe anybody would pay that kind of money, but I could not believe it, that there are people walking around, tour buses, and there he was. There's Elvis's underwear, Elvis's shoe, Elvis's nail clipping. There's Elvis, there's his airplanes on a ramp that you could go in, and there's his Cadillac. There's the trinket shop, and they come in by busloads, and they go to the diner, and they eat the Elvis burger, and the Elvis hot dog, and the Elvis mustard, and the Elvis mayonnaise, and the Elvis salt, and the Elvis pepper, and the Elvis roll. I couldn't believe what I was watching. And I looked at the faces of the white folk who were touring the Elvis mausoleum. And I said, I don't know. Are these all Obama voters? I mean, are they all diehard Democrats? I said, I don't know. They're sheeple for sure. Guaranteed sheeple. They don't know where they are. Now, look, I'm champion for America's borders, language, and culture. That's been my motto from the get-go here on the Savage Nation, borders, language, and culture. So now you wake up and you realize that you have an administration that is opening the border up like there's no metaphor for what he's done to us, to our borders, language, and culture. The only question is, how far will it go? Now, you've heard the argument that they're flooding America with the illegals because they all come here to work, and Americans will not do those jobs. And there's a degree of truth in the hard work we see immigrants doing. You got to be a fool not to see it. Everyone knows how hard these folks can work. Emphasis on can. But now you see that they've busted the border open, and they're bringing in children, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, with their mamas. Many of the kids are infected with diseases that were once eradicated in America that are going to resurge. And trust me, I've been trying to warn you about immigrants and epidemics ever since I started in radio. But so there's no talking to the white liberal. I write them off for whatever the reason. It's two worlds. I can't even live in that world anymore. I can't even think about it. I can't bend my mind around it. So I can talk only to my audience and pray to God there are others out there who hear me before it's too late. Now, there was a tsunami in the Cantor District the night I was on the air Tuesday. I have to believe that my being on WMAL in Washington, D.C. since January had something to do with it. You say, what, oh, is he crazy? Who does he think he is? Yeah, it had something to do with it. Remember, I had not been heard in Washington, D.C., except on a marginally small station, ever. No one heard of me. Well, there I was blasting right into the CIA district of Virginia for 6 months, 6 months now, 5 months. People heard the show, said, listen to me. Maybe it had some effect on the Cantor debacle. To me, it was an amazing story that an unknown professor with no budget could defeat that pompous idiot, Eric Cantor. But it was all about immigration. That's all it was about. Nothing but immigration. That's all it was. Don't forget that they have a lot at stake to tell you it wasn't, but it was all about immigration.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
We are deeply concerned about what is happening in Iraq, and we are not concerned and waiting. We are providing assistance. We are in direct touch with Prime Minister Maliki, with leaders at the top level. I've just completed phone calls now with people in Iraq.
I'm glad you made a phone call. All right, that's Mr. Ketchup, our Secretary of State. He's concerned, Mr. Ketchup. Lurch is concerned. Lurch is concerned. Unbelievable. You know, I was told when I was young that the best and the brightest do not go into politics. I agree with that. The best and the brightest never went into politics, so far as I can tell. But it's one thing to have a bunch of bumbling fools in power because they can't do anything else and they get off on controlling people's lives and thinking they're important by sitting at meetings with their legs crossed and yattering all day long. It's quite another thing when the world is on fire and your borders are being overrun. Quite another thing when you have no opposition party and no opposition press. Quite another thing when your country is being dissolved right before your eyes. Oh, yes, it's quite another thing. But I've been at this for 20 years. This is nothing new for me, truthfully. I mean, it's Rock and Roll Friday. I'd like to have a nice time. It's pretty hard when you see the world is in flames because of this incompetent academic leftist that we have running the United States of America, surrounded by worse people than he. See, Obama himself may not be that bad. It could be the people around him or even worse. That's the thing to remember. Leaders attract people like themselves, but even worse, to enact their policies. And usually they turn away from the policy making because it's too the minutiae bores them. They have other things to do, like golf and go to Martha's Vineyard and God knows what else they do. And so they leave it to these fanatics. And we have fanatics now ruining this country at every level, every possible level, as fast as they possibly can. But there's nothing new under the sun. I want to go back in time to a book I wrote in 2005 called Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. Because here is what I wrote on page one, which is this. I believe the Iraq War will be recorded as one of the greatest of military miscalculations. This is Michael Savage, published in 2000, and I have to read the date. Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, published in the year of our Lord, 2005. I wrote, I believe the Iraq War will be recorded as one of the greatest of military miscalculations. And I wrote this, before you dismiss me as a flag-burning pacifist, let me be clear. Team Bush won Operation Iraqi Freedom in a most spectacular fashion. Using sophisticated, high-tech weapons, our courageous warriors prove once again that they are the brightest and the best soldiers on the planet, period. Their enormous superiority on the battlefield was unmatched, a lesson not missed by the world community. And then I went on, and I made a prediction that the big winner will be Iran. I said, I hope it doesn't happen. I hope it doesn't happen. I prayed it wouldn't happen. But later on page 17, I wrote this. I said, here's where the military miscalculation factors into the picture. Supersizing Iran. I said, with this Iraq war, we've suddenly tilted the balance of power toward the Shiites. We've handed them a victory that they were unable to achieve on their own against Saddam Hussein. And I said, oh, naturally the Shiites are acting all smiling as if they're our big friends, right? No, they didn't act as our friends. I said, the minute the Shiites win in Iraq, they'll kick us out and rule with an iron heel. It's exactly what happened. Not only that, but the Shiites were so despotic in their rule of Iraq, and they were so horribly mean to the Sunnis that the Sunnis are now trying to throw the Shiites out. And this all goes back to the neocons who misled Bush. They have names, by the way. I wrote, Mr. Bush and his band of neocons have had this ambitious fantasy of transforming Iraq into America light. However, visions of a democracy in Baghdad may be short-sighted. The Iraqi Shiites are the majority in parliament, and they want an Islamic republic. So it may then be that Bush's war will have inadvertently created a supersized Iran. How? Operation Iraqi Freedom is in effect creating a Shiite nation. Iraq, next door to another Shiite nation, Iran, who happens to be a founding member of the Axis of Evil. Shiite, Shmiite, you say. What's this got to do with you? Plenty. There is the possibility that a Shiite Iraq will ally itself with Iran, a nation ruled by Shiite Ayatollahs, and unify against us. Which means that the hornet's nest of radical Islam may actually increase in size, rather than, as Bush had hoped, shrink. In sheeple terms, this means we might have just supersized our terrorists' base. Now, that's from Liberalism as a Mental Disorder, written in 2005. And shockingly, I wake up today as a prophet, realizing that Iran is entering the fray, joining the Shiites in Iraq to defend themselves against the invading Sunnis from the north, and soon to join the United States of America with our warplanes helping Iran complete its domination of that region. Now, you may say this is all horrible and it's by accident, isn't it? My answer will be the two words, Valerie Jarrett. There is no, it's not by accident. No, not at all, my friends, because if I go back to what I said yesterday, I quoted William Blake, the poet, life must be lived forward, but it can only be understood backwards. I am telling you that all of the crazy acts of Obama are not happening happenstance. They are on purpose. Obama has long wanted to unify with Iran, and this is a perfect opportunity for him to get friendly and to be an ally of Iran in their fight against the Sunnis. And now what's the wild card in all of this? The wild card is, once again, the canary in the coal mine of hatred. And the canary in the coal mine of hatred in the Middle East are the Jews. Once again, the Jews are the canary in the coal mine. And as you well know, Iran is on record having repeated over and over again, from the top leadership down, that they will kill the Jews in Israel. That they will not be happy until the, quote, Zionist state is wiped off the map. Until the region is free of Jews. And yet here we are, about to join the Iranians in their efforts to consolidate their power in the Middle East. America is being overrun by Mexicans and Central Americans on purpose. And as I said to you yesterday in this program, it is by design, not by chance. And those who will suffer the most will be the poor African Americans in this country who are being pushed aside and displaced by the Obama administration. But that was yesterday's show. Today we need to talk about our commander-in-chief and his vision of Iraq, which is now out of control. Now, I will call this McCain's war, because many elements of this invading terrorist army coming out of the north of Iraq are identical to, if not a part of, the so-called rebels in Syria who have been fighting Assad. You don't understand this, but that's who they are. So which side should we be on? How about no side? How about no side? Do you think it makes sense for us to take a side in the Shia-Sunni battle, which is going on for almost, what, 800 years now? Many of you have to spend a little time to see the difference between Sunnis and Shias. I don't think you care very much. But it goes back to the death of the Prophet Muhammad over who should lead the Muslim community. And many of you don't care about who leads the Muslim community. Not at all, but they do. In fact, Shia and Sunnis, although they're both Muslims, kill each other butcher their children, behead each other all over this insanity, going back 1,000 years or more. And yet it's the same religion. And the funny part about it all is that they kind of got along for hundreds of years until Jimmy Carter permitted the Iranian Revolution of 1979 to metastasize around the world, because the Iranian Revolution of 1979 launched a radical Shia Islamist agenda that laid down a challenge to conservative Sunni regimes. And I don't want to go into any more of it because I know many of you are tuning out. You don't know the difference between Sunnis and Shias, nor do you care. The end of the story is this. What are we doing there? What did all these boys die for? Try to imagine a family in this country who has a flag on their mantle of their dead son. The son died for the sake of democracy because he believed in Bush's BS. He believed in Bush's lie about weapons of mass destruction. He believed in Bush's big lie, and he went over, he enlisted, and he got killed in an IED explosion, or there's a guy walking around without legs or arms. You see the ads every night on television. It could rip your heart out. An Afghan veteran or an Iraq veteran. What are they fighting for? Who are they fighting for? Are we just Hessians for foreign powers? That's what it's starting to look like to me. But why should we care who wins in Iraq? Tell me why it matters. Now, today Obama gave a speech saying he will not be sending troops back into Iraq. And I think we should play clip number one so we can hear the great leader give his solemn statement, which he'll, by the way, I can guarantee you he was against sending troops in before he's for sending troops in, which could be as soon as tomorrow. Listen to clip one.
We will not be sending U.S. troops back into combat in Iraq, but I have asked my national security team to prepare a range of other options
that could
help support Iraq security forces.
Right, that's enough. Some national security team. A group of geniuses from Harvard and NYU. They never fired a Daisy BB gun, but their national security team. This is the same group of academic schmucks who are letting the country be overrun by Central Americans. The same schmucks who let the Boston Marathon bombing occur. That's the national security team. Oh, I really feel secure. None of them ever served in the military, I can guarantee you. They all served at Harvard in the Women's Studies Department. But let me let not my vitriol get the best of me today on Rock and Roll Friday. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Voice of America, the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America, has been my slogan since January of this year. And I think a big part of that is the rock and roll that I play almost every day. It seems to symbolize America, at least for me it does. I mean, others consider rap music their music, but, you know, different strokes for different folks. I tend not to relate to music that builds on a vocabulary of about 20 words. I would think that my dog Teddy, frankly, has a larger vocabulary than the average rap star. It doesn't mean that they're bad people, but, you know, different strokes for different folks. I prefer rock and roll to rap, but if you like the other stuff, you got plenty of choices out there. If you like to see people who rub their crotches and have rings in their nose and jewels in their teeth, God bless you. Many of you do. My horoscope today says everyone is entitled to their opinion, so don't get uptight if someone says something you disagree with. Stay calm, Savage. Tell your side of the story and then listen to theirs. And don't be surprised if what they say makes a lot of sense. And so therefore, I'll read my phone number here where you can talk to more people than you meet for the rest of your life if you get on the air. And it really, we don't have any empty lines. That's the problem. America is in hell right now. We're agitated. We see the country going in front of our eyes. We're watching a store emptying out. It's like, many of you don't know The Sopranos. It's like the Stakino bust out. What this administration is doing to this country is the equivalent of the segment in The Sopranos television series where the guy who owns this big, huge sporting goods store, which makes a fortune, is a gambler, a degenerate gambler, and he gets into a gambling game, a private gambling game, run by the mafia in New Jersey, and they warn him, don't get in the game. They warn him because if you get hurt, we're going to collect. But he's a degenerate gambler. He can't control himself. He gets in the game, and before long, the gangsters are now his partners in the sporting goods store. But being the criminal scum that they are, instead of running the sporting goods store and taking a piece of the legitimate profits, the gangster scum think only about how to rob the store, what they can steal from it. And so they steal sunglass racks, then they steal skis, and they sell them out of back of trucks. Little by little, the store starts to thin out in merchandise. And then towards the end, they're taking the credit line of the store, and they're buying airline tickets with the credit line and selling the airline tickets for any amount that they can get. That's how gangsters run a business that they take over. Tell me it's not exactly the same as what's going on in America under this regime. They're selling everything they can as fast as they can out of the back of a truck. And we're supposed to sit here in awe as the president gets up and gives a speech on Iraq like he knows what he's talking about. I feel like I'm watching an old Peter Sellers movie, where the gardener was made president. Do you remember that movie? He was made into the president, and he acts the role of the president, and people start to listen to him like he knows what he's talking about when he doesn't know anything about what he is saying. That's what I feel like I'm watching every time he speaks. Well, as we come to the end of Hour 3, it's a day of turmoil around the world. Everything that this administration has touched has gone up in flames, whether it be the borders, our own borders, or Iraq's borders. The world is in turmoil because of the college communists running America. I don't like saying this. It doesn't make me happy, but I have to say this. And so here we are. Our borders are being overrun by illegal aliens who will be wards of the state, displacing poor Americans with poor Hondurans and Guatemalans who will not even work. Tell me what sense that makes. Meanwhile, in Iraq, I'm calling it McCain's war because the armies that are pouring into Iraq, cutting off heads and killing civilians, targeting Christians in particular, are the same exact people called the rebels from Syria that our CIA apparently armed. Take a look at the armies of trucks that these headcutters are using as they pour towards Baghdad. They're brand new trucks. Where they get the money from? I can let you figure it out. Remember, McCain was saying we got to arm the rebels in Syria? Well, my friends, that's the same army. And what else is going on over there? It's a result of Obama's cut and run that the country of Iraq is being overrun. It's also a problem because Malarkey, who you know as Malarkey, who we installed as a stooge in Iraq, became a dictator shortly after we left. Did you know that Malarkey changed the courts in Iraq? And they issued an arrest warrant for the Sunni vice president of Iraq, forcing the Sunni VP to flee Baghdad. Did you know that that's what our stooge Malarkey did? Did you also know that Malarkey's government refused to pay the salaries of the Sunni fighters who helped defeat al-Qaeda in 07 and 08? They were known as the Sons of Iraq. Did you know he refused to pay them? And then in the face of largely peaceful demonstrations in western Iraq that began in December of 2012, Malarkey sent his army to crush the Sunni Arab protesters. Now you understand the context in which the Sunnis are basically fighting back to take control of the country. It did not arise out of a vacuum. If you suppress a certain population in the country long enough, they will rise up and they will fight the government. Let that be a lesson to governments around the world. There's only so much crap that people are willing to take. This is the United States of America, and God bless America. Well, that's the Friday edition of the Savage Nation. Good night, infidels, and God bless America.
Savage.